Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon, 6 minutes past one. How do you like your eggs in the morning? Preferably unfertilised, said the actress to the bishop. So many lines there that we should have let alone, but we shall not. Thank you, Matt Thompson, for the news. We're talking breakfast this morning. It's all about, this afternoon. How do you like your eggs? We've got cafe operators. We've got all sorts. Tune in. Smooth stylings of Matthew in there in the news booth. If only you could have seen them dancing his little katus off. He was. Thank you, Matthew, for the news. Thank you, Greg and Linz and the fabulous Zoe Dunbar for a brilliant episode of Detours. As always, those kids surely know what they are doing. Nutritionists have been telling us for many a year that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. I think Bailey's on your Cocoa Pops is absolutely important for breakfast. It's become very true in our society where breakfast is not just a kickstart to one's metabolism, a hangover cure, or something that is done by habit. It's now a social occasion, an opportunity for chefs to step outside the realm of bacon, eggs, and a bit of fried potato on toast, with taking those old-fashioned ideas and experimenting to bring a very modern twist. It's a chance to catch up with your buddies and have a coffee, some porridge, whatever you may choose. A few weeks ago, I put out a question via some social media. Where are the best breakfasts in Melbourne? It may be just a local round-the-corner spot that has your coffee order just right and knows that the only way you won't have your eggs in the morning is fertilised. Second and last time that line will be used, I promise. Or is it something you'll happily traverse to the other side of town for just to experience something that you have discovered and made a favourite? A result of this poll brings me four locations whose praises were loudly sung indeed. Three of these cafe operators join me in the studio from Hub, part of Hotel Urban in Fitzroy Street, St Kilda, is their general manager, Roger Fowler. Roger, welcome back.
Thank you.
From friends of mine in Richmond is the fabulous and sartorial Jason McLaren-Jones.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
And from the best in the West, from the Duchess of Spotswood, chef, owner, director, and I believe man about the Baroom, and Andy Gale. Welcome.
Okay, good afternoon.
Just pull that microphone a little closer to you, mate. You need to be very close to them. Don't be scared, they don't bite. On the phone in a little while to represent the northern suburbs will be our good mate from Pope Joan and the Bishop of Ostia, Matt Wilkinson, about to go lousing about the world somewhere, we believe. And as all of these chaps may be prone to some favouritism, we've pulled in an independent adjudicator and a dash of oestrogen for balance. She's the very gorgeous Wendy Hargraves, food editor of the Sunday Herald Sun. She will also join us very shortly. Boys, open question to all of you to start. What is it about breakfast? There is something about some gooey eggs on toast with a lump of fried pig.
I think it's comfort food.
Is it comfort?
I think it is. It is for me anyway. Certainly porridge and some of those old staples are the ones that I do love. So, yeah, scrambled eggs and comfort food. That's the way I see it.
My grandmother used to eat tripe for breakfast. Would that be comfort food?
Not for me.
No, didn't think so. Jason, what about for you? You operate a very busy little unit there in Richmond. What's what is it about your venue? What is it about breakfast that
brings
the boys to the bar, so to speak?
Definitely been a change in dining, certainly in Melbourne over the last couple of years. I believe that breakfast is sort of now the sort of thing that people go out for a couple of times a week, and rather than going out for one big dinner once a week, now it's more a social event. Brunch on a weekend, or you know, even during the week. So it's been more used as that sort of thing, as a social gathering.
Andy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've noticed that over the West, you know, so many people come through just to enjoy the breakfast as opposed to going out and spending money travelling to the city.
I think it's actually difficult to get breakfast in the city on the weekend, in particular.
It's difficult to breakfast on the weekend, I think. You have to queue. So I find it a challenge because I don't work weekends. So being told at a cafe half an hour wait for food is pretty common, I find, in some of the more popular ones.
And I think you have to be prepared for that. I think Absolutely. That's just, you know, that's the nature of the beast. I'm interested to hear your thoughts. 0427JOY949. Breakfast discovery in Melbourne. A breakfast dish that you think may be a little unusual or peculiar. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can phone 1300JOY949, or you can do things the very modern way and send us a tweet to cravings_joy949. I'm going to throw some trivia questions at you this morning, or this afternoon, gentlemen, through the show. The first of which, I don't know if any of you know, are brown eggs better for you than white eggs?
I don't think it makes a difference, does it?
We use greens eggs.
One plug for you in the hour, and you've done it. Well done, Roger. Would you know a brown egg's better for you than white?
No, I don't know. I can't say.
You say it doesn't make any difference,
Andy? I don't think so.
You're absolutely bang on. Yeah. It's just the breed of chicken.
Breed
makes
of chicken
a difference to the colour of the eggs. I thought it may have had something to do with
as long as they're free range.
Yeah. Well, yes, as long as they're.
I like the look of a white one better than a brown one.
Do you? I'm very fond of the double yolker.
Oh, really?
And another trick question, are they more popular now than they ever were? I mean, more frequent, yes.
We find them quite a lot.
And we're fighting the no yolks.
Oh, that's the perfect gay man's egg.
Really?
Yeah, we've had a couple of no yolks.
No yolks that are all just pure protein white.
Never. Unusual.
No, I've never seen one of those.
It's homos twitching the world over at the minute. Yes, we are seeing more double yolkers, and it's believed to be as a result of either genetically modified food that are fed to chickens, or indeed hormones that are fed to chickens to get them to produce eggs quicker and to grow quicker. I've had a very fascinating week while I've been in my deathbed, on my iPad in my bed, going, oh my God, I feel so like I'm going to die. I need to research about some eggs. We're going to be back very shortly because, of course, we have to keep this station on air, and we do that with community service announcements, and we do it with memberships. If you didn't join through Radiothon June 1-8, you can still join. $96 a family, $72 just for you, $36 for concession, $22 for under 18s. Or if you're a business listening and you haven't joined, it's just $165, and that could be a tax deduction for you. You just have to ring 1300JOY949, and you could quite honestly, I shit you not, win a car.
Hi, this is Guy Grossi, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Of course you are, and this is Cravings with Pete Dillon. It is 16 minutes past one, and we are having a traverse through the very, very early morning ritual of breakfast. That was the very beautiful Dusty Springfield with Breakfast in Bed, one of my favourite times of the day. And then I get up and have something to eat. It is 17 minutes past one. Now, we're in the studio. I have, it feels like a cast of thousands, three big personalities. He is Roger Fowler, the General Manager of Hotel Urban in Fitzroy Street, St Kilda. Recently opened breakfast spot that is going like the clappers, Roger, the hub.
Doing well this morning, apparently. Afternoon. I mean, breakfast does go through till 2 o'clock.
There was a fat lady sock down there. I couldn't get in, so I had to go somewhere else.
Thank you. That's good news.
McDonald's do a very nice hash brown. Also in the studio is Jason McLaren-Jones from Friends of Mine on Swan Street in Richmond.
Yes,
just a little closer to the mic, man. Doesn't bite. And from the best in the West, as I am told, the Duchess of Spotswood, I am trying not to be biased because I live on that side of town. It is Andy Gale from the Duchess in Mason Hall.
Hudson's Road.
Hudson's Road in Spotswood, just very near the railway station. And across the road, well, I'm going to give them a shameless plug, a new little business called A Bunch of Cakes.
Yes, very good place.
How good are those cupcakes?
Yeah, they're amazing.
A salted caramel cupcake, where you bite into the cupcake and the salted caramel is in the middle.
Squirts out of you?
Well, not quite, but you can make it do so. They are very tasty. I know somebody would be very fond of those particular cupcakes. He's coming off the bench to represent the North. He is, of course, the owner and chef of Pope Joan and the Bishop of Ostia in Fitzroy North. It is Matt Wilkinson. Are you at the airport yet?
No, just about to go.
Because you're about to go lousing around the world for how long?
5 weeks.
God, it's tough, isn't it?
Can you look after my house for me?
No, but I've got somebody who can.
No, it's all right.
Oh. I thought your mother-in-law was coming.
No, she's not anymore.
Oh, that's a shame. We'll talk after the show if you need a house, and you might have to leave a key under the mat. Now we've spoken to these three chaps very, very briefly about what is it about breakfast, and you've got to put your 2 cents worth in as well. What is it about brekkie?
Accessibility, is that the right word?
Accessibility?
What we try to do with food at Pope Joan, it's basically just the things that I'd want to eat if I went out somewhere.
So fried?
Porridge and bacon and egg sandwich.
Yeah, beautiful, with some chips in it.
I'm actually turning it into a bacon and egg sandwich, I have that many.
Right.
It's just one of those first meals of the day. Like, obviously, I was brought up, like Andy, in England.
Yeah.
On, basically crap cereals. Crap, full of sugar.
Crap cereals and greasy spoons.
A bit of Captain Crunch. Did you have Captain Crunch in the UK?
No. What was it? It's like Cocoa Pops with chocolate. And Wheated Bix. Not just Wheat Bix.
Yeah, what's that about? Cocoa Pops are very good, Matt. I've discovered for breakfast if you put Baileys on them instead of milk.
That might be a good thing for the bishop, actually.
Yeah, that'd work.
No, but it's like I'm actually looking forward to when I go back home in a couple of weeks. Just going to one of the greasy spoons in like the Barnsley Market. Like literally, you get everything on there. You know, like there's
black pudding,
you've got tinned beans, tinned spaghetti.
Tinned spaghetti? Bread. Are you serious?
Fried bread, you've got tinned tomatoes, you've got fresh tomatoes, mushrooms. What I love about it is they give you some fried bread, and then they give you a side of toast or just fresh bread.
God, lovely. That's not enough carbohydrates on one plate, is there?
And the big urn of tea, you can't possibly drink that much tea. And the mugs are massive. It's great.
It's tough. Now, I have to have an independent adjudicator because you're all going to tell me, you fellows, that your venue is the best. And we've sort of covered north, south, east, west as much as possible. Our independent adjudicator, she is incredibly gorgeous. She's incredibly kind. We love her a lot. She's the food editor of the Sunday Herald Sun. She's Wendy Hargraves. Good afternoon, darling.
Hello there, Pete. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Have you said say hello to the boys?
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm feeling a little bit small in all of this presence of such big food names on radio today.
Oh, love, settle down. Settle
down.
Now, as the editor of the Sunday Herald Sun food section, have you come across what is, and you don't have to say it's one of these four, I can give you that leeway. Have you come across a breakfast in Melbourne that you would actually drive somewhere for?
Look, it doesn't actually take a lot for me to want to drive somewhere for breakfast. It's my favourite meal of the day. And, if the egg's cooked perfectly, there's some sort of greasy protein, I'm there with bells on.
So, right.
Really, I'm probably not the right judge because, I'm a bit of a human garbage disposal unit, which makes my job really dangerous. Really, really dangerous. But I have to say, I've never had a bad breakfast at Matthew Wilkinson's Pope Joan.
Right, there's one vote for you, Wilco.
Yeah. I've never had bad breakfast.
I'll give you $10 later on when you
And they make a fine coffee. The trouble is you have to queue with, to get in there on a weekend because he's so darn popular.
Yes.
So that, and I'm a North of the River girl, I have to admit. So,
there's an element of favouritism there for you as well. Because I understand now, this morning you were out on your deadly treadly.
Yes, I was.
Doing a couple of laps of, from Frankston and to Frankston and back.
Well, it's the only way I can stop myself from being a shut-in.
To being a what?
A shut-in.
What's
from my dangerous job, People that need to have cranes come in to lift them out of bed.
Oh, my God, no, love, you settle down. You're not getting that large at all. So where did you go to on the bike? And would you ride the bike to go somewhere for breakfast?
Yeah, and one of my favourite places to ride my bike for breakfast is the Collingwood Children's Farm.
Right.
Because I can treadle along the Merri Creek Trail.
And eat children for breakfast.
And there are small animals there too. No, they have a really good kitchen there, and they make really, really tasty organic food. And their eggs are grown there at the farm, and it's always fun, especially when the farmer's market is on in that part of the world as well.
Because buy a jar of chutney to go on your googs.
Do cross the river sometimes.
Now, have you crossed to the west and indulged at the Duchess?
I have, and I've really enjoyed the whole offal thing. It's taken days to recover. But,
love it.
But, yeah, it is really good fun there. And I'm looking forward to trying that place for dinner now that I hear that it's opening for dinner.
Yes, do. And I'm giving you a hint. It is well worth the trip over the bridge for you. Now, Wendy, I've been asking some trivia questions, and I'm going to continue with those. This one is for you because I think it could be, I think it could be apt. I need a true or false. I may have made this up or I may not have. In 1996, the Japanese company Matsushita launched the first laptop computer built to survive coffee being spilled on its keyboard. Is this true or is it false?
Oh, well, look, the Japanese aren't really big coffee drinkers, so I'd say false.
It is in fact true. In 1996, their first laptop that could survive a coffee spill. That's
I do love the cut of their jib though. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's 18 years ago, 16 years ago.
Well, there you go.
I didn't even know we had laptops 16 years ago.
Well, they were the size of a large suitcase.
I beg your pardon, Matt.
50 years ago when you were in your 30s.
And ladies and gentlemen, that has been Matt Wilkinson, and if his plane crashes, let's just hope his wife and son miss it. look, it's getting wicked already, and we're not even halfway through. Back to you gentlemen in the studio. What constitutes the perfectly cooked egg for each of you? Because this is a matter of much contention.
Soft and gooey for me.
Fried, poached, boiled,
poached.
Coddled.
No, poached for me.
So soft, runny, poached for you?
Poached, perfectly poached with its tails cut off. Cool. So nice. No drag.
No chalazé.
Yep.
Good point.
Fried,
Andy. Wilkinson, I assume you're going with the fried.
Yeah, fried and a good scramble.
Yeah, good scramble.
And not one of those folded omelette things, like proper scrambled. You know, where it's all the grains are all...
Which in Matthew's case means there is half a jar of cream.
Yes, and full fat cream, yeah. And it's cooked in butter.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't get a fantastic waistline like I have. Not eating cream.
Matthew,
do you really go out for breakfast though to eat healthy in the morning?
No.
You want...
Yeah, that's why I don't have poached eggs. That's why I like a really good scramble with some feta and chives and maybe some smoked salmon folded through it. Served on hash browns instead of toast.
I tell you where you can get a really good egg with smoked salmon.
Yes?
Is at the European in Spring Street.
Yeah.
And he chucks on a few bits of, you know, Yarra Valley caviar as well. So it's very special.
That almost seems like a rather indulgent breakfast, doesn't it?
Well, you're sitting there with the northern sun, if you're lucky, with the beautiful Parliament Gardens across the road.
It is beautiful.
You could be anywhere in the world when you're sitting outside that place.
Well, the next bone of contention, is there such a thing as breakfast wine?
Ooh, no, but I've heard of a breakfast beer.
We have a breakfast beer on our menu.
What?
Breakfast beer, a Moa from New Zealand.
It's light.
Right. Yeah, they're putting it out and they've got all sorts
it's
of...
It's like a cross between champers and beer. It's probably more for the girls, believe it or not. The boys tend not to like it.
It's come in a purse size that I could come,
it's like a champagne,
a
little champagne top on. It's
like
very
a piccolo.
Cool.
Fancy.
Yeah, the only breakfast wine has to have bubbles in it, really.
Absolutely. Champagne all the way.
I'm actually fond. I believe that Moscato, only about 6.5% alcohol. It's a little sweet for my taste, but a perfect breakfast wine. Matt?
Yep.
Breakfast wine, does it exist?
I think a good whiskey or... I had a whiskey the other day for breakfast. It was really quite nice.
Oh, whiskey for breakfast. I don't know
what,
that.
What
I
time was
that.
The breakfast home, Matt?
Yeah, 4:30 in the afternoon. Yeah. Hey, listen, we're going to come back and explore that. I've got to play some messages that keep us on air. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9, 27 minutes past one. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
You want diversity? Check out Weekends on Joy.
Yes, do check out Weekends, which you're probably doing right now if you're listening. 0427 Joy 949 is the number. You can send an SMS. and ask a question of any one of our five guests today. Nothing like hitting the barrel at every end. Five guests. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can send a tweet to cravings_joy949, or you can do things the old-fashioned way, 1300-JOY949, or pick up a dead pigeon, attach something to its leg, and throw it out the window on the ninth floor here in Bourke Street. We do have a question, folk. Any of you or all of you should be able to answer this. Pete, one of your guests just mentioned that breakfast finishes at 2. Perhaps you could ask all of your guests, everybody's a producer, if breakfast has an end point, particularly on weekends. Is all-day breakfast just wrong? Roger Fowler.
Well, we go till 3, but if someone comes in at 5 and wants scrambled eggs and the kitchen's not getting its balls broken, we'll do scrambled eggs. So
the definition of kitchen having its balls broken, sorry.
Mr. Wilkinson could probably answer that one too, I think.
Right. So if the kitchen's getting slammed with afternoon fare, then
if they can, they can. So, you know, do it for the customer where we can.
Oh, look, you sure you didn't work for Sheraton for a time?
No,
Jason, what's the cutoff for you guys?
Well, we close at 3, so breakfast finishes at 3.
Okay.
And I think it should go all day, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It makes a big menu by the time you've got lunch and breakfast on the whole day, but... But it's essential.
Whip your chefs into shape. Andy, I know you have a different opinion because you guys sort of have to do a bit of a morph, don't you?
Yeah, we change at 1 o'clock and, you know, use the produce that we have at night times at lunch times, because, you know, having three separate menus just doesn't do your bottom line any good.
Matthew?
Breakfast should stop at 11 o'clock. But we run all day.
Why should it stop at 11 o'clock?
That's what my granddad told me.
Not something you read on the internet?
No, it's, I think you should be able to eat what you want when you want.
True.
If the business does allow that, well, that's great. If it doesn't, well, tough luck.
Tough titties. You know? Wendy, as our independent adjudicator, resident mother of this discussion, should breakfast finish at all?
Well, from a consumer's perspective, absolutely not, because you'd have to be mad in Melbourne, really, wouldn't you, to not offer breakfast all day. People do funny shifts. You hospitality people should know more than anybody that to be able to get a meal at funny times of day is really important. So I think it's you know, if your business is set up to handle it, go hard 24 hours a day, I reckon.
I agree. Another text message, or sorry, another email. My sister-in-law has a perfect solution for brekkie eggs for a larger group. She lines a tray of cupcake containers with thin ham, breaks eggs into each cup with seasoning, and I believe bakes in the oven, delicious and easy. I think that's missing one vital ingredient. Thank you, Tim, and that's cheese. How important is cheese at breakfast as a protein, as a fat, as a dairy item? Well, I don't think we get enough dairy.
Seems to be making its way a lot on breakfast menus, cheese.
I'm fond of a nice piece of halloumi fried with my bacon and my eggs and my hash browns and anything else that's fried.
Too much for me.
Too much for you?
Yes, yeah.
I like the salty sort of almost the texture of halloumi has
any cheese
squeaky.
With mushrooms is fine by me.
Oh, yeah. We've forgotten about the whole mushroom. So what is the most important ingredient for breakfast? It doesn't have to be eggs, does it?
Matt?
Sorry?
A cup of tea.
A cup of tea.
Milky. It looks like about two sugars in it. Perfect.
Oh, you're such a Yorkshireman.
He is, isn't he? Wendy, what
bacon.
Is it?
The pig. Anything from the pig is the most important thing.
Yeah, I think so.
I have to be inclined to agree.
Agreed.
There's a nod here. Roger, what...
I'm in coffee and bacon, so I'm sort of in that.
Coffee
mix.
And pig. So we'll substitute the tea for coffee for you. Yeah. I'm all for a cup of Earl Grey.
Milk or no milk?
Milk.
Oh, see.
I thought you'd be more of a Lady Grey.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be more of a dead Yorkshireman if you're not careful. Now, some odd things from around the world I discovered. Have you heard of Huitlacoche? No?
No.
This comes from Mexico, and it's actually diseased corn that part of the breakfast ingredients that they eat. It's a delicacy. It's packed with protein and minerals. And, of course, you're all familiar with congee, which is rice porridge. In China, they actually put these century eggs on them, which are aged for weeks or months until it takes on the aroma of ammonia and sulfur and has a gelatinous texture. And you put this on top of the congee. Excuse me. And then in Scandinavia, you can have a bowl full of its version of, it's called filmjölk, which is yogurt. It's made in the same way as yogurt by fermenting milk, but its variation resembles a cross between buttermilk and sour cream, and it's often topped with cereal.
Oh, you're such a font of information, Peter.
Oh, love it. As I said at the top of the show, I was in bed on my deathbed this week where I was spewing out of every possible orifice, including, I believe, my ears. And I had some time on my hands, and you know I like to keep busy.
There's a breakfast dish in Denmark, I think it's Bobblehof or something, and it's rye bread soaked in beer. And then they cook it out and keep adding more beer and then dust it with sugar and eat it.
Ooh.
Nice. Give us that again, Matt. Sorry. I can't write quick enough.
He said beer and then he's rye bread.
Yeah.
Rye bread with beer. They soak rye bread in beer and then they cook it out the next morning, adding more beer, and then sprinkle sugar on the top.
I think I could have that for lunch. That's a lunch dish. We do have a tweet, Top Melbourne, saying that Melbourneites are time poor and people love now going out for breakfast thanks to great food, venue, social times, etc. It is a very social time to go out for breakfast, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's good value.
Well, you raise a valid point, and you can also go out and sort of have a late breakfast or brunch and not have to indulge in any sort of alcoholic beverage. So, therefore, it's good for one's liver, especially for – we have friends that don't drink. I don't know why they're our friends, but they are. They don't drink, and it's not for any religious reason or anything, so that's why it's completely strange. And we will often socialise with them at that time of the day where we're forced not to have a – although coming to your place every time I come, there's champagne also ends up on the table with people that don't drink.
Oh, why don't you really?
Yeah, but we don't tell you because that means we have
– You just have two.
Yeah. Sorry, Wendy?
I was just going to say, and with all the restaurateurs in the house, you'd be able to expand on this. I'm hearing that there's a bit of a backlash away from breakfast because there's so much money to be made in booze in the hospitality game that people tend to plant themselves down, order a plate of eggs and a few coffees and take up the table for way too long, so there's really no money to be made.
Roger?
I'm not seeing that personally. I think it's more popular than ever, if anything, from my point of view. A 30-minute wait for a coffee at Market Lane this morning tells me that. So,
yeah, I certainly haven't.
Andy?
I certainly haven't seen any
drop-off?
No, not at all.
Because you guys are becoming more popular as more people, first of all, discover that the West exists.
Yeah.
B, that there is quality in the West.
Yeah,
and C,
yeah,
that going across the bridge doesn't give you hives.
Yeah, they're not going to drop off the end of the world. You know, it's actually quite nice.
And you're not going to Werribee.
Car might get pinched, though.
Not in Spotswood, it will not. Thank you very much. And I know more cars that have been pinched over your way, Wilkinson. You're treading very thin ice today, mate. Lucky you're going overseas. I'm going to clip you under the ears. Jason, have you seen a drop-off, or is that something that affects you guys?
That's not what I mean, though. I don't mean a drop-off. I mean there's not as much money to be made, even though it's really busy.
But you have to do a lot more turnover to make the amount of money. Like, we do about 2,500 colours a week, right? Mm. And it's funny, like, what we take in a week, sometimes the headship at circuit, one person spend that a table of eight. You know, it is a lot of work for the money, but it's margin.
Matt, conversely, if it's high turnover, it requires a lot less labour, and I'm making this assumption, correct me if I'm wrong, it takes a lot less labour to produce breakfast for eight people than it does to produce a dinner for eight at circa for eight people.
Oh, I don't think there is.
No.
Honestly, it depends. Like my favourite place for breakfast is Andy's place, right? I think he's doing amazing food for breakfast. I really do.
You'll have to let me know when you're next over when you get back to go to Andy's place for breakfast, because I can come around you over with my car. Sorry. Go on.
He's hands down, but the food that he's doing, that's had a lot of labour in there. There's a lot of love, you know. And, you know, it's swings and roundabout. I think Andy put a pointer. It's like how you actually design your breakfast menu and then follow it through so you're not no wastage. Like, when people go into cafes, I think one of the best things is that they think, you know, it's really busy and they're going to make... You see a lot of people that aren't hospitality people going into cafes.
Yeah, we call them the general public.
And they do find it they do find it hard, but I think people with a hospitality background, they go, all right, how you we sustain ourselves just because we're a touch smarter. but smart. I'm not saying like if saying I'm going to go into I've got my parking fines and I've got to go and see the lawyer, right? And I've got to go to court. I'm no lawyer, and I probably I'll still have to end up paying the parking fines. There is good money to be made.
Are there ways to economise? We had an old woman lived across the road from us, Agnes Pearson, that used to recycle tea bags. I'm wondering if that's sort of a suggestion for you to assist with the economy.
I think it'd be interesting when GST number 2 or the carbon tax kicks in 6 months and see how we're all going then.
People not wanting to leave their beds on a cold weekend morning as well.
I think that can
affect it, I'd imagine.
I think it's going to be still strong.
Okay.
I think it's going to maintain itself.
I think this whole carbon tax is just, and I'm not declaring any political bias in this point, but an opportunity for the opposition to continue to bag the government. And whichever party is in that would be exactly the same point I'd be making. because we don't need to go into political discussion.
Sorry about that.
How did that happen?
We blame Roger Fowler for everything. I think you do raise a valid point. And Wendy, you also raised one, the thought of getting out of bed on a cold morning to go and eat breakfast. But I think that's one of the joys of it. You don't have to be dressed up. You don't have to throw on a face. Pop on a beanie and a scarf and
I'd say it was a better... I mean, I'd much prefer to get up in winter when it's cold to go for breakfast. And,
one of the fun things to do is to wear your scungiest mockies and trackies and look further than Westy and go to...
Just you be very careful there, Northy.
Come on, I grew up in Colac. That's the ultimate Westy.
How long do you want to wait in line for, Wendy?
Exactly.
How long do you want to wait in line looking like that for?
But no, go dress as scungy as you can. Go to the pantry in Brighton. In Church Street, and just sit there and people watch and see the looks on people's faces.
Yeah, but then you get the paparazzi thinking you're somebody important because you look. They'll think I'm Brendan Favola or Dermot Brereton.
Because you have the physique.
Oh, indeed, love, I do. I'm going to disagree because I can't leave the house in tracksuit pants and UGG boots and business. I just can't. I don't know what it is. I have to be dressed to leave the house, throw on a face. And you don't have to throw on a face to go out for breakfast. I mean, you can just, on with a baseball cap. You don't have to worry about putting a brush through your hair. Throw on a pair of jeans and a T-shirt and you don't have to do your own bloody dishes.
I mean, I find the... sorry, Wendy. Taking the kids out, we take the kids out for breakfast far more than we would for dinner, per se. So breakfast for us is time with our kids too.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
What I do struggle with customers coming in, they come in and they have two slices of toast with just butter on it and, a cup of tea.
Well, that's just lazy.
Surely you couldn't have done that at your home.
That's downright bloody lazy. I'm one of these people. I subscribe to the thoughts. I won't go out and eat something that I can make at home generally. So if I'm going out for dinner, I try and order something that either I can't be asked making or that I wouldn't make in my house.
Do you know, Peter, that... When I did a story recently that showed some market research on why people dine out.
Yep.
And people in the restaurant industry will be disturbed to hear that nobody spends more than $50 a head. This is 95% would spend less than $50 a head.
Tired asses.
And that only 1% or 2% are happy to spend more than that. I think that they all live in Melbourne's inner suburbs.
Right.
And the other interesting thing is that the main reason that they want to go out for dinner is not for excellent service, which is my main reason, or for fabulous food. It's because someone else is cooking.
Yep. And there is no mess in my kitchen. It's an interesting point, given we were talking last week about the voluntary administration of Justin North and his group in Sydney, his 8 restaurants. And, that may well be a contributor, your point that people don't want to spend more than $50 a head.
Mm.
I think that's a bit stingy myself.
I couldn't believe it, but it really does, as a food writer, it brings you crashing back down to earth when you want to try all these fabulous places and review places that... where you start at $80 a head for a degustation. But, the vast majority of the readership really want to know about value.
Chin Chin in the City aim at $50 a head. That's what they want you to spend.
And look at the number of bumps.
Well, you can't get a bloody seat in there. Look, we do need to run some messages. I just want you to ponder this little dish for breakfast whilst we play these community service announcements. Now, this is something called Scrapple. And I want you to think about where this might come from. Leftover scraps from a pig that are boiled, minced, mixed with cornmeal and seasoned, and then fried up for your eating pleasure. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Harry Connick Jr., and you're on Joy 94.9.
Thanks, Harry. He popped in just to do that. It is a quarter to two. Coming up after 2 o'clock, indeed, is Fender Bender, the only car show where the gays talk about the vehicles on radio in Melbourne, I think, and the vehicles that the gays drive. I love a good bit of stereotyping. Matt's just emptying his recycling bin from another hard night before he goes to the airport. The question before the break, scrapple. Now, it's a dish that's made from leftover scraps from a pig that are boiled, minced, mixed with cornmeal, seasoned and fried up for your eating pleasure. Where do we think this might come from? Andy, you had a guess?
I'd originally said Ireland, but now changed my mind.
I said it could be Dutch.
Dutch?
I'm going China.
China. Wendy, have you got a guess?
Oh, I'm thinking northern blocks of England. That sounds like a Matthew Wilkinson dish.
Matt Wilkinson, are you in fact responsible for that dish?
No. No.
Actually comes from the mid-Atlantic of the United States. Scrapple. And you can have Snapple with Scrapple for breakfast.
Oh, my God.
Is that not enough?
Sounds nice.
Sorry?
It sounds nice.
Yeah. Of course it does. Scraps are a
bacon
pig.
Ball, really.
Well, it is, and it's sort of like one of those. What the? Oh no, the Jewish balls aren't made from pork, are they? Matzah balls? No.
Definitely not. Oh,
I could get in trouble saying that. Guys, I'm gonna let you guys on the phone go because I know you've got to catch a flight, and Wendy, I know you've got to get back on the bike soon for lunch. So, if there was. You know, you were given your magic wand. If I got my wand back from Hogwarts, that they will not give me back, and I could give you the ultimate breakfast for you to indulge, what would it be? Let's start with you, Wendy Hargraves.
Well, it would have to involve perfect eggs and caviar and champagne.
Eggs, caviar, and champagne.
A particular
champagne? Do you have a penchant for a particular brand?
Look, we do some fabulous sparkling here, so I really should go for something local, but I am a Verve girl. I'm sorry. Very gauche.
There you go. So some lovely eggs, some lovely fish eggs, and some lovely bubbles.
That would be me.
Wendy Hargraves, as the adjudicator, are any of these for you? Oh, you've already said your favourites, haven't you? We better let you go. thank you for playing adjudicator.
Oh, look, I'll be very boring and say that they're all fabulous places to eat.
And so of course,
get out there.
And people can catch your column every Sunday in the Sunday Herald Sun. And
yes.
Well, not just a column. It's usually about a 4-page spread, is it not?
It sort of oscillates. Tomorrow I've got top 5 cheese shops, if you'd like a little bit of art behind me.
Oh, yeah.
And a couple of restaurant reviews, including one from Ballarat, believe it or not.
Ballarat.
Good place in the rat, so you'll have to have a look.
Is the rat on the move?
Well, I think it is. There are a lot of people commuting from the rat, and there's some good food happening up there now.
We've seen the sort of heading towards Bendigo, so Kyneton and Woodend and Daylesford and all of that sort of central goldfields area moving.
There's a lot of very very rich gay dollars happening through the Central Highlands, and it's spreading right across to Ballarat now.
Well, be careful, because we're recruiting. We shall soon take over Warwick Nabil. Wendy Hargraves, thank you, my love.
Yeah, but you're very welcome. It's nice chatting to you all.
Next time in the studio, come in on your bike.
Absolutely.
Good girl. Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, fellas.
Ciao. Bye.
She's a good egg, that Wendy Hargraves. I like her. Matt Wilkinson, I know you've got to get in your limousine and fetch yourself to a first-class flight from the airport. For you? Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I'm waving the magic wand. What's on your breakfast plate?
What's on my breakfast plate?
Yeah,
in Japan, I had this, like, smoked eel with kind of, like, congee-style rice.
Yes.
Toasted sesames.
Yep.
And lots of ginger and spring onion. That's quite delicious.
Did you have any natto with that?
Any what?
Natto.
Alcohol.
Natto.
Sake.
N-A-T-O. Natto.
No.
You should have. It's the fermented soybeans, and the fermentation gives the consistency of snot. With these beans, they really are one of the most vile things I've ever eaten at breakfast time, but has to be tried. It's part of the human experience. Where are you off to on the round the world trip?
LA, New York, London, Copenhagen, the gastronomical temple of the world, South Yorkshire, and Singapore.
Is there one place in this journey at which you're going to eat that has you a bit twitchy in the trouser?
There's quite a few, actually. Brooklyn Fair.
Yep.
In where it's, you know, it's a cafe produce store during the day, but it's got 3 miles at night time. And going back to Stone Barns, Blue Hill at Stone Barns.
Yes. Can I give you a recommendation for New York?
Yep.
Prune.
Yes, prune is awesome.
Go and see what Gab Hamilton does with bone marrow. It will have you twitching in the trouser. Mate, have a very safe trip. We'll catch up with you when you get back.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Matt. Cheers.
Bye.
Gentlemen, I've got the magic wand out. Roger, I'm starting with you. What is on... Is it a breakfast buffet? Is it an all-you-can-eat caviar, throw-your-face-in sort of
no,
affair?
No, I actually like potatoes and eggs.
Yep.
Together are my, one of my faves, so that's what I would ask for.
Some hashed potatoes.
No, just I like soft-cooked potatoes, just spuds with eggs. I'm a big fan.
My mother used to make this thing, and I think it was because of the economy of our house of 10 children, that was mashed potatoes, and she'd sort of make these holes in the mashed potatoes with the bottom of a coffee cup and put an egg. And occasionally there might be a bit of old leftover ham or something that was put through the potatoes. Cover it with cheese, bang it in the oven. And we called it potato pie.
Really?
Very fancy.
Is that cheese again?
Potato and egg pie.
Potato and egg pie.
Yeah. Is any wonder that of the nine of us Dylan children that still walk this planet, that 8.5 of us are in fact obese?
Whatever.
Jason?
I sound quite boring, but I mean perfectly grilled ciabatta on a char grill with some... real tomato and some homemade ricotta.
Real tomato as compared to Coles tomato?
Well, tomato, it tastes like tomato.
Nice. Well-grown tomatoes.
Homegrown tomatoes.
Andy?
Pretty boring also. I was poached eggs, bacon, fresh tomatoes and spinach. So,
No sort of Cumberland sausage or black pudding?
Occasionally. I don't know. Normally, I just that's when I go out, that's what I eat. It's a bit dull, but...
The runner-up to your venue in the West, the Duchess of Spotswood, was in fact in Seddon, a place called Le Chien.
Yes.
French for the dog.
Yes.
A wonderful little spot, and they do the two things I like most. One is the Promite special. It's a lump of sourdough bread with Promite.
Yeah.
And it's a mixture of avocado, feta and tomato with a poached egg.
It's perfect.
It is absolutely splendid.
Yeah.
And then they have, I don't know where they buy their black pudding, and they know they don't make it, but it is probably the best that I think money can buy. This has been Cravings here on Joy 94.9. We have uncovered the depths and heights of breakfast right across Melbourne. The venues, you can go to the Hub in Fitzroy Street, St Kilda. It is at the Hotel Urban. Open how many days a week, Roger?
7 days.
7 days for breakfast, lunch and dinner?
Not dinner, breakfast and
breakfast
lunch.
Breakfast and lunch?
Yes.
And a website for your fine establishment?
No such website, just through the Hotel Urban.
So hotelurban.com.au?
Correct.
Beautiful. Jason... Because there's a multitude of venues that we have to speak about for you, isn't there?
Well, let's talk about Friends of Mine.
Okay, Friends of Mine.
So Friends of Mine, 506 1 Street, Richmond.
And a website?
Friendsofmine.com.au.
Beautiful. Now, we are under a promise to mention another venue that recently opened. It does belong to a fellow by the name of Ray Capaldi. It's called Marmalade and Soul.
Fabulous place.
It is a fabulous place. And if you want some sort of avant-garde experimental food, eat anything that Capaldi comes up with, because it's usually a bit left of centre.
His fried sausage is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Andy, the Duchess of Spotswood's clearly the best in the West. It is on Hudson's Road in Spotswood. The website?
Duchessofspotswood.com.au.
And I do recommend that you make the trip across the bridge. You will not catch anything. There is no disease. There are no hives. And you can come and sneak across the road to a bunch of cakes and check out their salted caramel cupcake after you've had breakfast, because if you haven't had enough fat and artery hardener, that should be, to coin a phrase, the icing on the cake. It's 6 minutes to two. A Fender Bender will be up shortly to talk all things cars. I'm back next week. We shall probably have an ethical food discussion, or in fact, we might look at locally produced food in regional Victoria and have some producers in to talk about their fabulous products. I do believe there is a very fine woman bringing me butter, and so I shall be as happy as a pig in a poo. Until then, have a safe week, and we shall talk to you next week. This has been Cravings here on Joy 94.9. Have a lovely afternoon.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.